Okay, Karen.
John.
Seems like it's been all day. It's still.
Yeah.
It's been our normal.
We started doing it with dark.
This is harder work than I'm used to.
I'm gonna take a little nap, maybe.
Yeah, I'll step to do that. That does enter my mind.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a legislative update regarding pending bills that have not yet been enacted that are of interest to the Cicero retirement system. I prepared a memorandum that summarizes these bills, and I will go through them, and please feel free to stop me if you have any questions. So at this point, these are the pending bills, and the last day for the governor to sign or veto bills will be September 30th of 2016, and so there is still time for amendments.
Sorry.
AB 241 is the first bill we have. You might recall this one from last June when we did this update. It was pending at that time as well. If enacted, AB 241 would require local public entities to provide the name and mailing address of each retired employee or the retired employee's beneficiary to organizations representing retired employees in municipal bankruptcies. The purpose of this would be to allow the retiree organizations to use the information to contact the retirees for the purpose of representation. And at the same time, they would have to ensure that retirees have the opportunity to meaningfully participate in the legal process of a local public entity that's filing for bankruptcy. Next, we have AB 259. This one also may look familiar from last year. It is still pending. This one would, if enacted, it would impose an obligation on public entities that contain computerized systems that include personal information to, in the event of a breach in the security of data, to provide notification of the breach to California residents whose personal information may have been compromised, and also 12 months of complimentary identity theft protection services. AB 537, this bill, if enacted, would prohibit public agencies from entering into an MOU on or after January 1, 2016 that provides post-employment health care benefits to members without having a plan for permanently pre-funding such benefits. This would apply to Cicero if enacted, if enacted, then in terms of negotiating a new MOU, Cicero would have to have a plan for permanently pre-funding post-employment health care benefits.
This would be retroactive.
That's the way it's written right now. It's been pending for a while. It could be that they'll change the effective date.
Karen, a strategy sounds incredibly vague to me. Are they more specific than that in what a strategy needs to contain?
No.
So you could plan on funding a dollar a year for the next 100 years and then commence heavier duty, excuse me, funding thereafter.
You get all choked up every time you talk about it.
That wasn't very important.
Speaking of health care, just
the legislation doesn't specify what that would look like at this point.
Yeah.
amorphous.
AB 1052, this is a bill that would apply to STRS and PERS only, not CSERA at this point. But it's of interest. It has to do with investments, and it would authorize the boards of those systems to appoint investment managers and to contract for the services for the investment of the fund. It would require that those be done utilizing processes that the board deems necessary and consistent with its fiduciary duties. It would require that these processes be competitive, except as elected by the retirement board. And it would also mandate that the board must monitor and assess investment managers so selected consistent with the board's fiduciary duty. So again, at this point in time, it does not encompass 37 Act systems.
So it must have a competitive process unless the board decides that they don't have to have a competitive process?
Yes. Yeah, we didn't really, what is it changing?
Who's writing this?
I know, it's like.
Why bother?
Well, I think what it's doing is it's giving, it's the second part of the statement, unless they decide not. Currently, it has to be a competitive, by state law, a competitive process. This gives them the option to opt out of that in proper circumstances.
It's funny how it's written, though.
Isn't it, though? Yeah.
No lawyer jokes. I'm sure they had a hand in it.
AB 1640, that would extend an exemption to transit workers who are covered by PEPRA, but this exempts them from PEPRA due to the fact that their collective bargaining process is governed by federal law, and there's been allegations and, in fact, a lawsuit about PEPRA being in violation of those laws. So this would extend that exemption.
I got to check on this, but didn't Secretary Perez lose that case?
In other words,
on appeal, right? But I thought the appellate court ruled against Secretary Perez.
It's affecting our bus agencies because, needless to say,
I'm just wondering if this
is doesn't apply to them.
Or federal funding to purchase buses, and so.
Right. So this bill is the fix for that.
Well, it essentially says
it
all
extends.
You
doesn't
apply. Transit agencies, tough luck, no PEPRA for you. You've got to stick with whatever we say you have. It's a challenge. It's going to be an interesting one if it goes forward.
Next is AB 1661 regarding sexual harassment prevention training and education. Currently, CSERA, as other local agencies, is required to provide at least 2 hours of training and education regarding sexual harassment prevention to all CSERA supervisory employees. AB 1661, if enacted, would additionally require CSERA trustees to receive sexual harassment prevention training and education.
We're not teaching them how.
AB 1692. This is a Contra Costa County only legislation. It has to do with a disability standard applicable to general PEPRA members, not safety members. As you know, Contra Costa County has a unique disability standard that applies only to Contra Costa County out of the 20 SERL retirement systems, and it's found in Government Code Section 317.20.1. It is the Substantial Gainful Employment Disability Standard. AB 1692, if enacted, would authorize the Contra Costa County Board of Supervisors to require the application of 317.20.1, the Substantial Gainful Employment Disability Standard, to non-safety PEPRA members, and that would apply only to those members who work for agencies that are governed by the Board of Supervisors. So that would be the county and the Contra Costa Fire Protection District and several others.
Who's carrying this bill? You know?
I believe
that's
Bonilla.
Okay, if you don't.
I have it.
That's all right, I'm sorry.
Yeah, Assemblymember Bonilla.
Bonilla.
AB 1812, this would limit a new employee's retirement benefits to $100,000 per year in retirement systems that are not integrated with Social Security. AB 1853, this is a Sackler-sponsored bill. It would authorize the retirement board of any retirement system that is operating under SERL to elect by resolution to become a separate district under the law and have its employees become employees of the retirement system as opposed to employees of the county. AB 2113, this would require that people holding an elected county or district office must be registered voters within the county or district. AB 2376, this is also sponsored by Sackers, and the section that is sponsored by Sackers would allow SERL systems to opt to accept electronic data from employers rather than a signed sworn statement from new members. This particular bill also contains a provision sponsored by CRCEA, the California Retired County Employees Association, and that provision would expand the voting powers of the alternate retired member. Currently, the alternate retired member can only vote in the absence of the permanent retired member. This bill, if enacted, would allow the alternate retired member to vote whenever two elected board members are absent. AB 2628.
Good chance.
Do you have a question, Terry?
No, I just Louis brightened up immediately.
AB 2628 would impose a an employment restriction on trustees after the end of their tenure on the board. Trustees would not be able to work for or consult for SACERA for a period of 1 year. It would also require that Form 700 statements of economic interest of board and staff members who are code filers be available on the SACERA website. AB 2833, it would apply to contracts entered into on or after January 1, 2017. It is one that would require a public pension or retirement system to require alternative investment vehicles to make specified disclosures regarding fees, expenses, and the gross and net rate of return in connection with these vehicles and the underlying investments. In addition to requiring these disclosures from the investment vehicles, the bill would require that SACERA disclose the information received from the vehicles, from the alternative investment managers, in connection with those investments at least once annually at a meeting open to the public. This is, of course, geared towards creating more transparency with regard to hidden fees.
This is like for hedge funds? Is that what?
Yes.
Yeah.
Karen, could I go back for just a minute? It took me a while to catch up. 2628 at the end talks about who are Section 87200 filers.
Right.
Who are those?
Trustees, CEO, CIO.
So the 700s that all of us file, we need to file one, would now become part of our website?
They would be posted on our website, correct.
Okay.
ACA 3, that's an assembly constitutional amendment. You may recall this one from last year as well. Nothing's happened there. It was introduced in June of 2015, and there's been nothing happening with this one. A constitutional amendment requires a two-thirds vote of the legislature, and it requires to be approved with an affirmative vote of the majority of the electorate. It's the same description as we had last time. It would require that any future enhancements of a public employee's retirement benefits apply only to future service and some other items that are mentioned in here. I'm assuming this one is somewhat dead, but there's nothing in the public record to show that. There's simply been no activity on it.
I think, what day is this? This is the 8th? The deadline for getting the bill out of your respective house of origin is either imminent or was Friday or Monday. I can't recall which day. So if it didn't make it out, it's dead for the session.
SB 1436 would require an oral report with regard to executive compensation. And so this would be a requirement for the board to make an oral report of what the recommendation is with regard to executive compensation before taking final action on that compensation item. And that concludes our legislative update, unless there's any questions.
Question for Tim, though. That AB 2833, how would that impact us as far as having access to these investments?
Hard for us to say until we see final language in the bill. There may be certain funds that choose not to do business with, California public funds.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.